Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, let's start with a good news story here right out of the gates this morning. It looks like income tax relief. Finally, some movement on that front. I mean, that's what I've been saying. Look, maybe a deadline is what's finally going to force some action here. Still looking at all the details of what this income tax relief will actually look like. I know later today, normally he's supposed to join us in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, but we're going to push it towards the 8 o'clock hour of the show today. But Speaker of the House Brandon Lear out of Savage is going to join us. And as I understand it, I think this is his income tax relief plan. This is the compromise income tax relief plan that is now headed to the governor's desk. Will the governor sign this into law? Of course, this proposal differs from the governor's proposal, but I do believe that when it came to the various legislative proposals, that I still think that the governor's across the board income tax relief plan was the best approach. But I, as I've said before on this show, I think Speaker Lear had a better alternative in terms of what was moving forward in the legislature. Let me just get right to it here. So this story comes from a liberal blog, the Daily Montanan. Let's see, tax breaks could soon be coming to Montanans. Looking at income tax relief here in particular, House Bill 337, sponsored by Speaker of the House Brandon Lear, ended up as a compromise between the governor's preferred plan for the largest tax cut in state history and a middle class tax cut preferred by a more conservative wing of the GOP and some Democrats. Isn't that odd? Like, a more conservative wing was proposing an income tax relief plan that was supported by the Democrats. That one still escapes me. It's still beyond me why Senate Republicans were supporting basically a class warfare version alongside the Democrats of tax relief. That's why I'm glad Speaker Lear's proposal ended up moving forward. We've all talked about the 9 Republicans that have been voting with the Democrats in the state Senate, but even the more conservative Republicans in the state Senate have been voting with the Democrats on income tax relief. It's like, what, because you don't want to support the governor's proposal, so you just had to come up with something different, even if it was worse? Anyway, I digress. Thankfully, Speaker Lear's proposal is the one that's moving forward. So under current Montana income tax laws, this is from the report by Micah Drew here, there are 2 tax brackets for regular income. A 4.7% bracket and a 5.9% bracket. But really, the overwhelming majority of us, if you work, if you make, you know, anywhere around $20,000+ a year, you are in that upper bracket, the 5.9% bracket. The new system would increase the threshold for the lower tax rate during the next 2 years. But I also understand that there is a trigger that would go into effect so it's very complex. It lowers these rates. But the bottom line is, I think for the overwhelming majority of Montanans, this will deliver a good chunk of income tax relief and then a trigger for the rest.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partial sun and some cloudiness through the day today, we'll see a few showers possible. You need a little snow mixing in some areas towards Bozeman early. Otherwise, high temperature readings will range from around 50 in Bozeman to the mid-50s in Billings. For tonight, scattered shower chances pick up with lows in the mid-30s to around 40. More scattered showers expected on Thursday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
Tuesday, the feds in New York City announced a federal racketeering indictment against 27 members of the Venezuelan-based Trendy Aragua gang, citing crimes such as drug and sex trafficking, robbery, and firearms offenses. Trump borders our Tom Homan says the indictment reflects promises made by the president to remove gang members from the country.
This is what collaboration looks like.
NYPD Commissioner Jessica Tisch described the suspects.
These are depraved criminals trafficking in people, in guns, in drugs, and in fear, and with absolutely no regard for human life.
While New York City Mayor Eric Adams said the city will not be a safe harbor for criminals and illegal migrants who come here to become one.
The American dream is not going into homeless shelters and taking the documentations from innocent people and forcing them into sex trafficking.
A large majority of the suspects are in custody. Kidney Rescue, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is real rich here from the Democrats. So, this can get real wonky real fast. So let me try to keep a big picture. We got to throw in some details here, though, too. So income tax relief. Tax relief, period. Now, it sounds like property tax relief is moving forward. Here's the challenge with property tax relief, though. For most of you that are listening to the show right now, even if the legislature delivers on property tax relief and you get some money put back into your pocket, it's going to be like that Paula Abdul song again, one step forward, two steps back, because your city can still raise your property taxes. Your county can still raise your property taxes. Oh, we're just going to adjust the mills and and we're going to erase whatever the state just gave you. Income tax relief. The city and the county can't immediately automatically come in and just say, you know what, we're going to take that. We're going to take that income tax relief and adjust the mill. No. That's why income tax relief is the easiest way for us to get our money back from the state without all these other strings attached. Now, it's interesting. So Democrats in the Senate voted with the Republicans, if you can believe it, on a previous income tax relief plan. That's the one that's not moving forward. I'm glad that one's not moving forward because that one was going to play this little class warfare game. Well, these people get income tax relief, but these people over here do not get income tax relief. What? No, they're sitting on a budget surplus. It's our money. They took too much of our money. Anybody who paid taxes deserves to get our money back, deserves to get tax relief. By the way, it's better for the economy. It's also better for revenue. So if you're somebody who likes, to spend money in the government, tax cuts are a good thing because for you as well, because it leads to more revenue. That's what's happened the last time we cut taxes in the 21 session and the 2023 session. But it's interesting now, because now when Speaker Brandon Lear's tax relief plan went through the Senate, all but two of the Democrats voted against it. I'm reading here in this report by Micah Drew. All Senate Republicans supported the bill, while all but two Democrats opposed it on the final vote due to the cost of lowering the top tax rate. I need to go look at the legislative website and see which two Senate Democrats voted in support of income tax relief here. That's pretty interesting. So, but now the response here from Senate Democrats is, well, while we were out campaigning for office, nobody mentioned income tax cuts. They only mentioned property taxes and needing property tax relief. Okay, here's the deal, though. So what Senate Democrats are basically saying is, well, when we talk to our constituents, they told us they were tired of getting money taken out of their left pocket. They didn't say anything about us taking money out of their right pocket, though. Isn't that just kind of a funny little wordsmithing game that the Democrats are playing here? They will talk all day long about taking money out of your right pocket, but pretend to put money back in your left pocket, knowing full well that the city and that the county, especially in these very liberal places like Missoula and Bozeman, they'll just reach right back into that left pocket and say, oh, I see the state gave you some property tax relief here. Ah, no, we're going to take some of that. We're going to take some of that. In fact, if you live in Missoula, we're going to take most of that. We're going to up your property taxes by another 20%, which is what they did in the city and counties of Missoula. So again, it looks like property tax relief is moving forward. But here's the problem with when it comes to property tax relief. It's hard to find a perfect plan for property tax relief. And part of the big reason why it's hard to find a perfect plan for property tax relief is who's getting hammered the most right now. Obviously, it's residential property taxpayers. But even if some of these proposals move forward, it's hard to see how you prevent anybody from not getting a hit, even still with property taxes, because of just the complexity of the way it is all done. And so I fully believe that no matter what property tax relief plan comes out of the Montana legislature this spring, I still think there's going to have to be a citizen-led initiative to fundamentally reform our property tax system, to move us away from a system that taxes people based off of the value of their home instead of what they actually paid for the home. Our listeners have called in and made this point as well. This is a tax on unrealized gains. When you're taxing somebody based off of the value of something, based off of the worth of something, versus how much money you actually had in your pocket when you bought the stinking thing, it is a tax on unrealized gains. It is so outrageous. It's so offensive. It's unjust. It's unfair. And that's the system we live in. And we've been living in that system now for decades. That's why people have been getting property taxed out of their homes for decades now. But here's the deal. More money in your right pocket is more money in your pockets. Senate Democrats, all but two of them who voted against this income tax relief plan are saying, well, nobody told us about income tax relief. Well, look, here's the deal. More money in my right pocket is more money in my pockets. You guys might claim that you're going to put a little more money in my left pocket, but your liberal cities and your liberal counties are just going to steal that the first chance they get anyway. Income tax relief is huge. This is massive. So I'm glad to see that the plan is headed to the governor's desk. I still think the governor had the better plan with just straight up across the board income tax relief. But looks like the Speaker Lear's got a good compromise here. And we'll talk with him here in about a couple hours.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The Great Forgetting, collective amnesia, whatever you want to call it, the phenomenon is real. Economic lessons learned in past decades are forgotten and flawed policies come back. Tariffs, price controls, quotas, and rationing. None of these are new ideas, but those who lived through their past uses are no longer in charge, and the wisdom acquired through pain has vanished as well. President Nixon famously imposed wage and price controls in 1971 in an attempt to slow down Vietnam War inflation. And after a honeymoon period when everyone applauded the move, things quickly unraveled, especially when those expecting cost of living increases in their paychecks got the news. But popularity aside, the policy was like a wrecking ball that otherwise ordinary adjustments and unregulated price system would bring about. Some counties were running out of heating oil at the same time as others were awash in surplus, because without a higher price, there was nothing to cover the transportation costs. Smart economists like Milton Friedman pointed these things out, but no one remembers him. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. President Trump calls the tax cut and spending reduction package now moving through Congress the, quote, big, beautiful bill. Republicans are inching closer to approving the touchstone of President Trump's agenda. The House passed a framework for the bill in a squeaker, 216 to 214. Flip one vote and a tie kills the measure. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries noted that had two Democrats, Sylvester Turner of Texas and Raul Grijalva of Arizona, not died, Republicans would have lacked the votes to pass the bill. Two Republicans voted nay. Indiana's Victoria Spartz and Thomas Massey of Kentucky. Massey said that those who were opposed but eventually voted yes were looking for an off-ramp, a afraid they would get torched by President Trump, who asked Republicans to stop grandstanding. Conservative skeptics say late-night meetings and a public commitment by Senate Majority Leader John Thune unlocked the necessary votes. Thune pledged that the Senate would find deep spending cuts, but there's nothing in writing. This phase was hard. The next phase, even harder. And that's when Republicans must write the bill. House Speaker Mike Johnson wants it done by Memorial Day. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hi, everybody. The Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network. I'm Wayne Nordblond. Recently, we have been talking quite a bit about wolves, especially in the state of Colorado, where Colorado voters approved a measure to reintroduce them into the landscape. Of course, states like Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho manage gray wolves, and they are not listed on the endangered species list. Thus, these three states can manage wolves through hunting and trapping. But looking a little further west, a new study out from the University of California, Davis, reveals that California cattle producers are losing millions of dollars due to the expanding gray wolf population. Once thought extinct in California, wolves began reappearing in 2011, and by late 2024, seven packs had been confirmed. Researchers with the university studied wolf impacts on ranches from 2022 through 24 and found that each wolf can cause $69,000 up to $162,000 in losses through reduced cattle pregnancy rates and weight gains. Total indirect losses across three packs in California were estimated between $1.4 million and $3.4 million. Wolf's GAT test showed 72% contained cattle DNA, and cattle in wolf territory showed signs of stress. California researchers emphasized the growing conflict and called for new approaches to coexistence. Gray wolves remain protected, but California is entering a new phase of management that may include non-lethal deterrence and better tracking tools. In other news, USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins has announced over $340 million in USDA disaster assistance to help farmers, ranchers, and rural communities hit by natural disasters. The aid comes from the Disaster Assistance Fund and aims to provide swift relief to those still waiting for help. Rollins made the announcement in North Dakota, where over $5 million will go towards rebuilding electric infrastructure damaged by storms and wildfires. The funds are part of a broader effort to support recovery and strengthen rural communities.
At Kern Creek Angus of Roundup, Montana, they raise cattle with instincts to carve out a living in big country. For 25 years, they've offered cattle developed for longevity and usefulness in mind. Join the Eliason family Tuesday, April 29th in Miles City, Montana for their annual sale, offering 50 red and black bulls, 10 pairs, and 10 fancy heifer calves. To view catalog, videos, or bid live, visit FrontierLiveSale.com. Sale time is 1 o'clock. Current Creek Angus, current genetics for current times.
This branding season, let Western Ranch Supply lend a helping hand with one of our popular cap tables. We carry a full selection from industry leaders like Foremost, Bilson, Cow Country, Rupp, and the new hydraulic MJE table. From traditional to hydraulic, these cap tables are tough and durable, not to mention easy to use for operators and safe for your calves. Stop by our stores in Billings or Great Falls or visit WesternRanchSupply.com. Western Ranch Supply, your branding headquarters.
Returning back this morning, I just wanted to share that I am headed to Australia later this weekend for the 2005 World Angus Forum and Angus Track Tour. Our exclusive coverage brought to you by RotoMix, delivering performance you can feed on. Now, we're going to start in Sydney, Australia, touring Angus operations and research sites, and then work our way north to the World Angus Forum in Brisbane, Australia. We're going to be focused on Angus genetics, sustainability, grazing, leadership, a whole lot of issues, and we'll talk about issues that producers are facing on the global scale while there. We will have reports right here on our radio dial, but also more in-depth coverage on our Western Ag Network social media channels. Make sure and join us starting this weekend as I head to Australia for the World Angus Forum. I'm Lane Northland, Western Ag Network.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Let me see here. Okay, just got an email in from the Disney family in Libby, Montana. Please explain to us why graduated income taxes are income redistribution. We really aren't tax the rich more fans, but seems to us that we, America, has always had a graduated income tax. The more you make, the more you pay. Yes, is this what you're calling income redistribution? If so, we think you're mistaken. Maybe that's why the conservatives voted with the Democrats on this issue. We actually think everyone should pay something. Without skin in the game, they just wait for the next handout and don't become involved in or aware of the Democrat process. So I guess I would have to clarify with you guys. So what I see as class warfare is, okay, so what the Democrats and initially the Republicans in the state Senate were doing is they were saying, all right, instead of just lowering the rate for that pretty much everybody pays, so almost all of us pay this 5.9% rate, the highest income tax rate in the Rocky Mountain West, right? Even though we cut income taxes the last two legislative sessions, we still have the highest income tax rate in the Rocky Mountain West. And so Senate Republicans were saying, well, let's just move a bunch of people down into the lower rate instead of just lowering that 5.9% rate that pretty much everybody pays. We still want to tax people. We still want to tax some people at 5.9%, but we want to tax the rest of us at, you know, 4. Whatever. And it's like, no, just lower the tax rate for everybody. Instead of saying, well, here's the deal. Look, if there's a rich person out there that's paying 5.9%, and then there's a more middle class person that's paying 5.9%, and then even lower class than, you know, income class level than that, that's paying 5.9%. If you're rich, you're still paying more. I just think the conservative approach is to move towards a more of a flat tax system. That's always been the more conservative approach. This whole class warfare game of, well, we're going to make the rich people pay a much higher percentage, and we're going to let these people pay this percentage. That's why all of the Democrats voted for that, because they want to punish success. They want to attack success. They want to stop success because they want people dependent on government. And eventually they want a system where those of us who get up and go to work every day to pay the bills get soaked in taxes. And then, hey, everybody else just gets a free ride because they want people dependent on. And what do you guys think? Should we switch in tracks here? Would you be willing to donate to a fund to help Montana Democrats take a trip to El Salvador? Would you be willing to donate to that? So this is great. So let me just play this clip here first. Jesse Waters had a great segment last night all around Al Gore calling Trump Hitler. My goodness, is there a bigger loser than Al Gore? Somehow he has sure made himself rich, and he has sure burned a lot of carbon, criticizing carbon emissions. We'll get to that one as well here. Laura Ingraham, I think she had the soundbite of the day going after these Democrat members of Congress that were traveling down to El Salvador to stump for this MS-13 gang member. But here you go. Jesse Waters had this last night. And it starts with a back and forth with I believe a Trump administration official being questioned about all of these deportation plans.
Will this administration continue to oversee the deportation of 400,000 people a year?
As long as Congress gives us the money to deport 400,000 people a year, that's what the administration is going to do. That's our obligation under the law. We will be strategic about how we do it. And the number of those folks who are either criminals or recent arrivals will continue to go up. But yes, this is our obligation under the law. We must enforce it, and we will do that.
Barack Obama drone-striked an American citizen overseas. What has more due process? Your president murdering you with a missile without a hearing, or your president flying an illegal alien home? These people are crazy. But what happens when you stand next to a crazy person? You look good. You don't even have to do anything except not act crazy. And the funny thing about crazy people is that they don't know they're crazy. So Republicans are offering to pay for any Democrat who wants to go to El Salvador. Just one condition. They have to live stream the whole thing and snap plenty of selfies.
That's a good point. You know, all of these Montana Democrats who were at the Bernie Sanders AOC rally in Missoula here a few days ago, every single one of them should be given the offer. Hey, who wants to go to El Salvador? Because there they all were cheering against the deportation of these hardcore criminal illegal aliens. So, you know, I know Zoe Zephyr already has a big campaign account. He's been getting all sorts of campaign cash from these far left activist groups. We know the former Democrat candidate for governor, who apparently wants to run for another office. Go for it. Go for it. He's got a ton of cash because, you know, he got paid all that money by the state of California to testify in support of their gun ban. So he's got enough money to fund the trip to El Salvador on his own. But maybe we should give them a little nudge and say, hey, Zoe Zephyr, hey, Fussy Bussy, you guys love these MS-13 gangbangers so much, we want to pay for you to go do your own little PR stunt down there in El Salvador, too.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So I don't know if you guys heard this soundbite. I thought I had it in my audio clips here. The Daily Caller had a piece where Laura Ingraham on her program was clashing with a Democrat member of Congress over the question of what processes do. This guy has had more process than anybody. You keep talking about due process. What kind of process are you still wanting at this point? This guy has had more process than anything, talking about Kilmar, the MS-13 gangbanger that got deported down to El Salvador, and all these Democrats are traveling down there to go visit. The soundbite that I heard on Fox and Friends first earlier this morning was where this Democrat member of Congress, she tries to claim, look, this isn't just about one person. I'm not just down here. And she's like, you went to El Salvador for Kilmar. What do you mean this isn't about one person? And I don't know if you guys have seen this, but there's a military veteran who apparently, Fox had a story on it. I didn't get a chance to watch that full segment, but there's a military veteran and he's been detained down in Venezuela, which what were you thinking traveling to the the socialist state of Venezuela? And his parents are saying that this Democrat senator, I think they're calling out Patty Murray out of Washington State and saying, how come we can't get our Democrat senator to do anything? Our son is detained in Venezuela. So you got an American, a military veteran, detained in Venezuela, and you can't get the Democrats to do anything. None of them are traveling to Venezuela, apparently, but they are traveling. Several of them now traveling to El Salvador to advocate for a guy from El Salvador, an MS-13 gangbanger. It also got me thinking, you know, there was another big story, I don't know if you guys saw this, where the EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin, Trump's pick to head the EPA, he's been, you know, making a big deal out of really what's something that should be a big deal. And Navy SEAL U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy has been talking about this as well because he's a Navy SEAL veteran. You know, our Navy SEALs train on the beaches, Coronado Island, San Diego, California area, right across the border from Mexico. Mexico has been dumping raw sewage into the water. And it's getting a lot of our Navy SEALs sick. The trainees that are the BUDS candidates that are going through the training, they're getting sick from the nasty water. So all these Democrats are traveling to El Salvador to advocate for a criminal MS-13 gangbanger, illegal alien. Why aren't they making a bigger deal out of traveling to Mexico and calling out the Mexican government for dumping raw sewage into the waters where our Navy SEALs train. And you notice, like, these Democrats, they claim to care so much about the environment, yet they flack for the Communist Chinese. The Communist Chinese, by the way, who, you know, fund a lot of these environmental groups that are pushing this Earth Day garbage. Who's the biggest polluter of our oceans right now? China. They don't care. They don't care about the environment. They don't care about American citizens, but they care about this MS-13 criminal gangbanger. Harvin Dillon said this: good thing Bukele is in power down in El Salvador, so it is safe for United States Democrats to travel there without getting mugged or murdered. Yeah, Harv, you remember when El Salvador was the most dangerous place in the entire world? Not anymore, because Bukele has cracked down on the gangbanger thugs. That's why the Democrats despise him so much. Man, there was another great message that came in yesterday on the Montana Talks app. And, sorry we missed this one yesterday because it was a great message. This one came in on the Montana Talks app. This one came from Morgan in Helena. And I heard this, by the way, in that interview with the Democrat member of Congress on Laura Ingraham's show. This El Salvador MS-13 gang member, you know, one of the things that the Democrats are saying is, well, he's a member of a labor union. He's a union member. Good question here by Morgan and Helena. Does that union need to be investigated for dispatching illegal alien workers? Boy, that sounds like a certain next step, doesn't it? I don't know about you guys, but I remember when labor unions stood up for American workers and stood up against illegal aliens that were coming here to take their jobs. Now the Democrats are saying, oh, the illegal alien's a union member. We need to bring him back. Like, that's the insanity that's going on right now. Labor unions, Democrats used to stand up for labor unions. Labor unions used to say, we can't have these non-citizen illegal aliens coming here to steal our jobs. Now the Democrats are saying, the illegal alien is a member of a union who was here stealing jobs from American citizens. We need him back. That's what they're saying. How comical is that? How ironic is that? All right, let's see. A couple other messages coming in here. Tim in Savage wonders this. All right, I need clarification. The offer for fundraising to send the Democrats to El Salvador, is this for a one-way ticket or a round-trip ticket? Great follow-up there from Tim and Savage. Yes, and so Tim, I'm assuming then, let's see, if it's Fussy Bussy and Zoe Zephyr, the two Democrats who apparently may want to run for Congress next year in the Western Congressional District, if it's a one-way ticket, would you fund it, or would you be okay with a round-trip ticket? Because wouldn't it be hilarious to have one or both of them on the ballot next year? I'm just wondering, just asking. All right, into the phone lines we go. Nancy in Roundup, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Montana Talk, Sammy. You know, that guy is not a union member, because anybody who's tried to get into a union knows that it's a long, long process. It took my grandson 3 years at the temp to get into Stellantis as a union member and a full-time employee.
Yeah, but he's an American citizen.
BS.
He's an American citizen, though. He's an American citizen. There's a different process for illegal aliens now. They want to, you know, they want to make it easier for them than they do for American citizens.
Nothing's changed. It's still illegal to cross into our country, but yeah, they're trying to change the legality of it, but it's not going to work, and we're not going to put up with it. But I want to talk about Meta. The European Union is after Meta, and it's a monopoly, and there hasn't been a monopoly like this since Ma Bell, which you're too young to remember. Ma Bell was the only telephone company, and of course the government split off. But anyway, I find this very interesting that the globalists and the European Union and people here in our country are during the Trump administration. So they're going after Meta and Mark Zuckerberg because, you know, he lowered his standards. He's allowing more free speech on Meta right now, and he's not fact-checking or anything. So I guess he's crossed the red line. He's made some enemies. But this is going to be interesting. I'm going to see just how much the CCP is going to try to pick up on Meta after it's split up. What do you think?
Yeah, good question. To me, Facebook, Meta, whatever they're calling it, it's always amazing to me. I have noticed mm-hmm. that they've changed something there. Even David Noble pointed that out. He said, you know, their algorithm or something, they must have changed because he would never see any local conservative content on Facebook before that would just randomly show up in his feed. But he said now he's starting to see more of it. But even then, I'm just always amazed. It's like it's important. I don't want to discourage people from using social media to get your message out. And using social media, because it's all important, right? Like if you want to enact positive change here in Montana and you want to fight for your freedoms and fight for lower taxes and things like that, you got to use every tool at your fingertips to do so. And social media is an important tool. But it's always amazing to me, like people get all excited. Oh, I had this Facebook post that got all these likes and all these views. And it's like, man, Nancy's phone call into talk radio right now reached a heck of a lot more people than you're going to get on Facebook, except for the rare occasion that something goes real viral. Facebook wants you to have to pay to get your stuff really seen, and then you have to pay a lot to get it seen by just a few people. And yet one phone call to a radio show, wow, you're reaching a much bigger audience. Of course, I'm biased on that topic, though. Nancy, thanks for the call. I wanted to play one more clip here from Lee Zeldin, the EPA administrator, talking about the need for Mexico to honor their obligations and stop spewing their raw sewage into the very waters that our Navy SEALs train in. Democrats don't care about that, though. But if they were MS-13 gang members getting sick by the water, oh, no. Earth Day, D-Day, the Democrats would be on the shores of the beaches right away if it was MS-13 gang members getting sick by the water. But that's U.S. Navy SEAL candidates. Democrats ain't got time for that. Thankfully, the Trump administration does.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
That is the definition of dark woke. What does it really mean? What does all this mean? Is they don't have a clue. They don't have the courage either to stand up and have an introspective moment and to have a course correction that understands that this country voted for dramatic, drastic change. America wants their borders secure. America wants criminals deported. America wants illegals deported. These are 70-30, 80-20 issues. America wants to eliminate waste, fraud, abuse, and corruption. They call it a constitutional crisis.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Warning! Inflation is back on the rise. The national debt is spiraling out of control. The stock market has been at an all-time high, and wars continue to rage across the globe. Experts are predicting a massive economic crash for 2025, and you should be ready. Will you sit on the sidelines and wait, or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? Right now, you can get a free gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, where you'll learn why tens of thousands of hardworking Americans and even the world's central banks are turning to precious metals to help protect and diversify their money. Get your free gold and silver kit from Goldco by visiting HannityGold.com or calling 855-815-GOLD. You can even receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Don't let your financial future slip through your fingers. Learn why so many Americans are diversifying with gold and silver today. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partial sun and some cloudiness through the day today, we'll see a few showers possible. You need a little snow mixing in some areas towards Bozeman early. Otherwise, high temperature readings will range from around 50 in Bozeman to the mid-50s in Billings. For tonight, scattered shower chances pick up with lows in the mid-30s to around 40. More scattered showers expected on Thursday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
The champagne socialists Bernie Sanders and AOC were spotted exiting a private jet during their Fighting Oligarchy tour. FoxNews.com broke the story. We've got that full report and much more. Check it out. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, wait till you see this one. Wait till you hear the song if you missed it on Monday's show. The country song created by AI about Montana property taxes. That and more. MontanaTalks.com.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem, the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
13 years ago, over 700 people showed up at a school board meeting in Helena when it became known that the Helena School District planned to start teaching sex education beginning in kindergarten. That was the first salvo in a battle between teachers and parents that wound its way through the legislature and the courts and continues to this day. At issue is whether or not parents have the right to direct their children's upbringing, including what they're taught in public schools. The Helena School District's response was to ignore the parents and proceed full speed ahead. The legislature then intervened and allowed parents to opt their children out of lessons that they find offensive. Those bills went through various iterations until 2021, when the legislature passed Senate Bill 99, which required public schools to alert parents 48 hours in advance if they planned to teach anything related to human sexuality, reproductive rights, or LGBT issues. That law was challenged in 2024 by the ACLU, which claimed that the law was an attempt to discipline educators and counselors who seek to introduce holistic, inclusive, and compassionate concepts about human sexuality, sexual orientation, and gender identity into the classroom setting. A member of the Montana School Counselors Association said Senate Bill 99 put counselors between a rock and a hard place, saying, quote, "We can either follow our professional and ethical obligations to our students, or we can follow Senate Bill 99's parental notification requirement. We cannot do both," end quote. To which then Superintendent of Public Instruction Elsie Arnson replied, quote, "Government bureaucracy does not own our children. I stand with parents who are rightfully concerned over sexual indoctrination in the classroom. Montana families have the right to know what their children are being taught and the right to opt out of participating," end quote. As the legislature and courts continue to wrestle with this issue, it's worth noting that this battle is taking place in other states as well, most notably in Maryland, where a challenge to a similar law in that state has now made it all the way to the United States Supreme Court. Yesterday, the High Court heard oral arguments in a case where parents are suing the Montgomery County Public Schools over the district's refusal to let parents keep their children out of certain classes when books involving LGBT characters are read. The books in question involve homosexuality, same-sex marriage, gender identity, and gender transition. Rather than being included in the sex education curriculum, they're part of the language arts curriculum. When the district first included these books in its curriculum, the parents were allowed to opt their children out, but the district later changed course and required all students to participate. Parents filed suit, but lost in the lower courts. The U.S. Supreme Court then accepted the case on appeal, and from our perspective, yesterday's hearing went extremely well. All six of the court's conservative justices focused on indoctrination rather than so-called education. Justice Alito led the charge, pointing to a book promoting same-sex marriage. He said this book sends a clear message, and it's a message that a lot of people who hold on to traditional religious beliefs don't agree with. Justice Barrett then pushed back on the idea that the books were merely exposing children to diverse communities and ideas. When questioning the school district lawyer, she said, quote, "It's presentation of idea as fact. That's different, right? It's saying that this is the right worldview. This is how we think about things. This is how you should think about things," end quote. We'll keep you posted on this case. The court should render its decision sometime in June, hopefully in time to influence the Montana court's decision on Senate Bill 99. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofsky reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. Thanks to Jeff Laszloffy for that update, as always. School board elections across the state. School board elections across the state. Man, it's crazy. I got my ballot in the mail for the school board election. One race. And my immediate reaction was like, by the way, I voted for John von Langen on the west end of Billings. Great guy there. John von Langen running for the Billings School Board. But anyway, it's like, wow, a whole election mail-in ballot run for one race. Why don't they do these when the rest of the elections occur?
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The Great Forgetting, collective amnesia, whatever you want to call it, the phenomenon is real. Economic lessons learned in past decades are forgotten and flawed policies come back. Tariffs, price controls, quotas, and rationing. None of these are new ideas, but those who lived through their past uses are no longer in charge, and the wisdom acquired through pain has vanished as well. President Nixon famously imposed wage and price controls in 1971 in an attempt to slow down Vietnam War inflation. And after a honeymoon period when everyone applauded the move, things quickly unraveled, especially when those expecting cost of living increases in their paychecks got the news. But popularity aside, the policy was like a wrecking ball to otherwise ordinary adjustments an unregulated price system would bring about. Some counties were running out of heating oil at the same time as others were awash in surplus, because without a higher price, there was nothing to cover the transportation costs. Smart economists like Milton Friedman pointed these things out, but no one remembers him. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.